Lecture 21, The Origins of Japanese Buddhism.
In our last lecture, we talked about some of the varieties of Chinese Buddhism that developed during the Tang Dynasty, really the classical period of the development of Chinese Buddhism. Obviously, there was a lot more that happened in China after the end of the Tang Dynasty. Buddhism didn't stop developing in China at that point. Many centuries ago, there were lots of things that happened in the relationship between Buddhism and Confucianism, and also the development and expansion of different Chinese schools. But I think you have a sense from what we've talked about already of at least some of the major varieties of Chinese Buddhism, and also some of the ways that the Chinese tradition changed Buddhism quite radically from the tradition that they first received from India. So you could go to China now, knowing what we've talked about, and have a pretty good sense of what you'd see, be able to interpret the kinds of Buddhism that are readily available to you in the temples and in the major pilgrimage sites in China today. So it's time for us now to move on to another phase in the development of East Asian Buddhism, to the Buddhism of Japan, a tradition that also was rich, creative, did some remarkable things with the Buddhist values that it received from China and more indirectly from India, and also has had a lot of effect on the kind of Buddhism that we experience today in America and in the rest of the world. Now, Buddhism entered Japan as early as the year 535 from Korea, which is one of the closest places where the Japanese have been able to get access to traditional Chinese values. And it came at a time when the Japanese were suffering some of the same difficulties that the Chinese had experienced a few centuries earlier in the decline of the Han Dynasty. Both Korea and China in this period had recently been unified politically, and they had, before that time, gone through a period of considerable political disruption. While Japan itself was still in a state of feudal warfare, there were still clans that were battling each other. In fact, some of the great stories about Japanese military heroism actually come from that time before the 6th century, as people battled back and forth across the landscape in Japan. There was a sense, especially among people who looked across the sea to Korea and to China, that the Japanese needed a new strategy, really, and a new system of values to organize the affairs of the nation so that they could really keep up with what was going on in Korea and China. And to find an effective model for this, the Japanese looked to China, the source of many important cultural traditions in Japan. In China, they found Buddhism, of course. It had flourished in the Tang Dynasty and were now really at the end of the period of the Tang Dynasty. And they also saw in the Chinese imperial tradition a revived form of Confucianism. They used both these two traditions, Confucianism and also Buddhism, to help reorganize and refocus the energies of the Japanese state. And this meant that the process of adaptation in Japan took a very different turn than it took in China. When the first Buddhist monks, we've talked about, slipped down across the trade routes in Central Asia and entered northern China at the end of the 2nd century of the Common Era, they found that the old Confucian synthesis was really in disgrace. It had fallen apart, essentially. The emperor, who had functioned as the center of the Confucian ethical system, had lost control of the country, and he no longer commanded respect. When Buddhist monks from India looked for a vocabulary to express their Buddhist values in a Chinese way, they naturally formed an alliance with Taoism. Talked about this. This is something that transformed the character of a Buddhist teaching in China in quite a distinctive way. Now, the idioms of these two traditions were actually quite different, of course. The Chinese flavor of Taoism was quite different from the abstractions of the Buddhist tradition in India.